Transaction declined. China has made it illegal to trade cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin. The US is also looking at tighter rules, but others are embracing what's being called the future of money. So, should digital currencies be regulated? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Imran Khan. Bitcoin emerged a decade ago as a digital alternative to money as we know it. Cryptocurrencies like it are traded online away from the control of governments, central banks and institutions of the global financial system. But the world's two biggest economies aren't too happy about it. China has declared all cryptocurrency transactions to be illegal and has threatened further action. It's the latest step after regulators stopped banks from offering virtual currency services earlier this year. The government has accused criminals of using cryptocurrencies to launder money. But its central bank is preparing to launch its own digital yuan as early as next year. And media reports in the US suggest the Federal Reserve is working on a so-called blueprint on the future of money that could be released as early as this week for public debate. Regulators have been examining tighter rules on trading cryptocurrencies. The Reserve's chairman, Jerome Powell, says the central bank could also launch its own digital currency.
We think it's really important that the central bank maintain a stable currency and payment system for the public's benefit. That's one of our jobs. We also live in a time of transformational innovation around digital payments, and we need to make sure that the Fed is able to continue to deliver to the public a stable and trustworthy currency and payment system. So there's extensive private innovation, a lot of which is taking place outside the regulatory perimeter, and innovation is fantastic. Our economy runs on innovation, but where the public's money is concerned, we need to make sure that appropriate regulatory protections are in place. And today, they really are not in some cases.
While some countries are cracking down on cryptocurrencies, a few others are embracing them. El Salvador has become the first country in the world to adopt virtual currencies as its legal tender. Ukraine has passed a law that legalizes and regulates cryptocurrencies for its citizens, but companies would still be subject to the law for their activities. Cuba's central bank plans to recognize digital products like Bitcoin and is expected to set rules on how to deal with them. Malta, Singapore and Switzerland are among nations creating a business environment where cryptocurrencies can grow. Let's bring in our guests. In New York, John Biggs, journalist and former editor of CoinDesk. In Amsterdam, Thibaut Schreppel, an assistant professor in economic law at Utrecht University. And in London, Glenn Goodman, an investor and author of The Crypto Trader. A warm welcome to you all. I want to begin in London first with Glenn Goodman. It used to be that cryptocurrency should have been called cryptic currency because no one really had a clue about what it was. Here we are a decade later, and not only do we understand what cryptocurrency is, but governments are trying to get in on the act. And that was exactly the reason cryptocurrency was set up for, to stop government regulation. What the Chinese are doing, and let's begin with them first, is protecting their own digital currency rather than trying to regulate all of them. Is that right?
Yes, that's completely right, really. The idea with the Chinese government is simply to banish all cryptocurrencies from the country altogether, in any of their guises, and allow the digital yuan, when it's launched eventually, to basically take over the role that cryptocurrencies would have originally had the Chinese government not interfered, but also a very much enhanced role, because really the digital yuan is a kind of anti-cryptocurrency. It does the precise opposite of what currencies like Bitcoin were set up to do in the first place, which was to, as you say, allow people to have a certain amount of freedom from governments and to not have anybody's permission for sort of moving their money around. The Chinese government wants to not only have permission rights over the moving of money, but also possibly to look into every aspect of people's financial lives, to watch every single transaction go from A to B, and even possibly to put limits on the way that people can use their money. This is one of the big fears about what the Chinese government might do, because it certainly will have the technological capability to, for example, tell people, well, you've been a naughty boy, you've been saying some things that the government doesn't like, therefore therefore we're not going to allow you to spend your money on plane fares or on train fares. The idea is, in some people's minds, that it will be incorporated into China's growing social credit system, allowing people who behave like good girls and boys to have more rights than other people.
In New York, John Biggs, it's not just the Chinese that are doing this. The Americans are mulling over something called CBDC, the central bank digital coin. They may well be talking about this publicly next week. Once again, are we seeing a two-tier system of cryptocurrency? You've got the original cryptocurrency, which was blockchain technology, which recorded transactions. And now you've got this, what some people are calling stable coin, which is basically linked, almost like traditional money, to a central bank, to a system. Are we going to see two separate currencies emerge?
Well, sure. I mean, well, so let's talk about that a little bit. You could argue that the two currencies, the superior currency is going to be the traditional Bitcoin, Ethereum, et cetera. Those are the currencies that can route around damage, right? And damage in this case is regulation. Damage is government prying. Damage is privacy, et cetera. You're trying to route around these invasions. These inferior currencies are going to be these government currencies. Eventually, all governments have to go digital. I mean, basically, we already are digital. Moving money around is basically just moving zeros and ones from bank to bank. So we're at that point. The idea that a government can control this stuff at all and even release their own cryptocurrency is pretty ridiculous. But that's not going to stop them from trying.
Thibaut Schreffel in Amsterdam. Is there any precedent in history here when we talk about a new type of currency emerging? Or is this so completely new that we're kind of scrambling to regulate it?
So actually, the very first regulations regulating a technology dates back from over almost 4,000 years. So that's something we've been doing for a very long time. But indeed, I mean, as we discussed already, we do have new types of currencies, which is very interesting because it means we have private competitions coming on a market which is public by nature. And this is why you see some governments reacting so strongly. And of course, we all know that the Chinese government is doing that. And in just a few weeks or months, will introduce, as we just discussed, their own cryptocurrency. I think eventually we have to discuss whether or not we still want to call those currencies blockchain or cryptocurrencies, because indeed they are not very much decentralized and they are a bit of the exact opposite hand of the spectrum when it comes to Bitcoin and Ethereum. So that's a discussion we need to have. But yes, I will argue this is something which is pretty much new, probably in the history of humankind.
In London, Glenn Goodman, should I be selling Bitcoin, Ethereum? If I've got any, I don't. But if I did, should I be selling them? I mean, is this going down the toilet?
I think it's far too early to say it's going down the toilet. Though you are certainly right to worry, I think, because when I look at the climate of increasing regulation across the world, and particularly in America, it's still about as clear as mud how they're going to regulate these things. The European Union has provided a bit more clarity recently. I just watched Gary Gensler, the Securities Exchange Commission boss in America, talking to the Washington Post the other day. And after half an hour of listening to him and when he finished speaking, I still was none the wiser. I know that he would like to regulate it and bring it all sort of within the existing regulatory umbrella. That's really the idea, is not to create necessarily brand new regulations for cryptocurrency, but to find ways to regulate them under existing regulations. As I say, exactly how that will be done is unclear. And because it's unclear, it's worrying, because there are all kinds of little tweaks that they could make that could either allow cryptocurrency companies to continue to thrive and to innovate and develop new ideas and ways of doing things. Or with just a few little tweaks, we could find ourselves in a situation where, for example, ordinary investors find it impossible to invest in cryptos and only so-called accredited investors are able to do so. That could happen. And also new businesses could find themselves being squeezed out of the crypto economy, or find barriers are so high apply to entry that they find it hard to get into the industry, which could leave all the money for the sort of existing big businesses. In fact, the existing cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum could even benefit from regulation because they're the biggies, and it could make it more difficult for the newbies to kind of get in and build their way up.
John Biggs, actually, Glenn Goodman makes an interesting point. We have day traders who are allowed a certain amount of access through nowadays apps on their phones to trade shares, but they can't, without regulatory authority, trade huge amounts of money and the big trades that, you know, Goldman Sachs and banks like that have access to. Currently, if you buy crypto, you're buying as much as you can afford, and you're buying it without a huge amount of regulatory authority. So there's already regulation in place when it comes to trading shares and stuff. Are we looking at laws like that to try and stop cryptocurrency? And is it true that what Glenn Goodman says, that actually it might only benefit the rich already? This won't be the people's currency anymore.
Remember, those regulations don't stop equity trading, right? So just because you have a regulation doesn't mean that the whole thing is shut down. It's even for accredited richer investors, quote unquote, or even for mom and pop folks who are using Robinhood to trade on a daily basis. The biggest question here is what these governments are looking for is to be able to tax capital gains on crypto. And there are plenty of people out there, average folks who you probably wouldn't even know to see it, who have millions and millions of dollars in crypto, who A, have a very hard time getting it out into fiat currencies. Once they start moving it, that changes all sorts of, that makes all sorts of ripples. And B, they don't want to move it out. They'd much rather play the markets like they have been playing. But every single government around the world wants a piece of that action. They want a piece of that capital gains. And right now you don't have that. So we're in a situation where the SEC and those folks are trying to regulate crypto in the same way, but they can't decide if it's an equity, they can't decide if it's a currency, they can't decide if it's a municipal bond. Who knows how would you define this thing within those confines? So all this regulation, that's all we're talking about in some of the freer countries. It will become a rich person's game ultimately once all this regulation happens, because if I can move $34 million worth of crypto using my computer that I mined back in 2008 or whatever, it's going to be a really interesting space for the SEC to mess in, because they want to have control over that transaction and regulate that transaction.
Thibaut Schreppel, we've often been called an economy that is global. I mean, we are cross-border now, but crypto has actually really laid that bare, that we are a borderless economy. And this is a real challenge for governments. This is why China is trying to crack down on loopholes. Like, you can't even now, from an offshore server, go to trade with people in China. It's a big challenge. This idea of cross-border economies is something that we're going to have to deal with. But how do we do that?
Well, I would say it's especially a challenge indeed for the blockchain and the crypto space. For the ones such as Bitcoin, decentralized and distributed crypto and way of transacting, meaning that it is not easy for anyone to come within the ecosystem and to say, we're going to make a version for Europe, a version for the US, and a different version for China. It doesn't happen this way because there is no a single person behind in charge of making such changes. So we do see indeed something which has been called the Brussels effect, but it now may be called the Chinese effect, which is that if you regulate first, then you impact the entire world. And I think it has to do, again, with the nature of what we are talking about, which is a infrastructure for tomorrow's transaction. And this is why we see China being wanting to regulate that, because they want to control the infrastructure. I think this is why we're going to see the US soon regulating blockchain itself instead of just regulating certain applications such as financial applications. And it might be why we're going to see Europe also doing the same, which is, again, to regulate the infrastructure instead of simply focusing on certain way of using blockchains, which is the regulations that we have right now in Europe, which are financial in nature. But eventually, I'm pretty convinced they're going to move on to the entire ecosystem, because, again, we talk about infrastructure.
Glenn, I'm just going to come to you in just a second, but I want to bring in John Biggs here. John, I get the feeling, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I do get the feeling that you're for minimal regulatory authority when it comes to cryptocurrency. Is that right?
I don't want folks to get scammed. I don't want folks to get ruined because of cryptocurrency. And it's really, really dangerous out there. That said, it's what they're proposing is impossible. There's literally no way to regulate this stuff in any way that's familiar to anybody at this SEC or even in the Chinese government. The China's Great Firewall works if you're poor, is easily bypassable if you're rich. In the same way, all these rules and regulations around crypto, especially China outlawing crypto, they don't have any effect. It really has no effect on the average miner out there doesn't really care. And the average person with crypto doesn't really care. Crypto transactions are going to occur in China, whether the Chinese government wants it to happen or not. That's one of the keys. That's one of the benefits of this. And that was one of the benefits of the original internet. It was, again, routed around damage. And damage in this case, very specifically, is regulation. I'm all for keeping people safe and keeping people who aren't familiar with this stuff out of it until they've educated themselves enough. But that said, it's almost impossible to stop somebody from being smart on the internet, and also impossible to stop somebody being stupid on the internet.
Glenn Goodman, then, are we talking about a universal system of regulatory authority that takes place globally? Are we talking a financial UN Security Council of sorts? Is that the only way of actually managing cryptocurrency?
Maybe eventually, but certainly not in the foreseeable future. There's not really any sign of that. It's being done country by country. And I take a different view to John Biggs on some of these issues. For example, with regards to China. Now, I don't live in China, and I don't know how easy it is to get around the rules, but I did read the People's Bank of China's new rules, or new statement, rather, on cryptocurrency, which was earlier this week. And those were pretty strong words. Basically, anybody who even owns any cryptocurrency or tries to deal in any cryptocurrency, just an ordinary person trading it, is in legal trouble now. Like, could be very serious legal trouble. We could have, you know, the intelligence services banging on their door kind of trouble. At least that's what the People's Bank of China's note implied. So I would be very scared if I was living in China and getting around the rules with virtual private networks and all the rest of it. I would be quaking in my boots. So I expect that would change behavior of quite a lot of people. In terms of general regulation in the US and so on, what worries me about, because John was saying that, you know, a lot of ordinary people have got cryptos and they're not necessarily paying taxes. I mean, the rules at the moment are quite clear in Britain and in America that you pay capital gains tax on your crypto profits. You do that. If you don't do that, you're breaking the law and you're going to go to jail. You know, everybody I know pays capital gains tax on their crypto profits. I know loads of crypto accountants, specialists. There are loads of websites that will calculate your crypto profits for you. You know, this is a whole big industry. It's not like
I do want to pull you up on that point because it's something that I actually don't know the answer to. So maybe you can help us. Do you only pay taxes, rather, once you turn it into a fiat currency, once you turn it into a dollar or a pound or a sterling or whatever?
It varies from country to country. Certainly here in the UK, where I live, it's very clear that every time you do a crypto-to-crypto transaction, that is a capital gains tax event. You would pay tax on any profits made during that transaction. I believe there are some countries, I can't remember which ones off the top of my head, where it is only when you convert from crypto to fiat that it becomes a tax event. But as I say, for the UK, any transaction, any crypto transaction is a taxable transaction.
Thibaut Schreppel, is this then taxes? Is this then the basis of how you write laws about cryptocurrency, how you manage to control it by selling people on the idea that they've made a lot of money, they need to pay taxes?
Well, it could be. In my view, our discussion right now is discussing the beauty of crypto, which is that on the one hand, we do have a certain infrastructure, which indeed is really hard to regulate. And on the other hand, we do have people using this infrastructure and transacting. And there we know that there are different ways to force the people, or actually to nudge the people, to behave in a certain way. It may be that indeed you take markets into account, which would be taxes or financial incentive. This is one way. It could be that you do the Chinese way, which is you actually rely on the law, and especially criminal law, and you say, if you do that, you go to jail. this could be pretty effective. And it might be that you try to influence the norms. What is a good behavior? What is a bad behavior? But eventually, all that needs to be embedded within the actual design of blockchain one way or another, which, again, is the beauty of it, because this is for the first time that we do have to care about the technology so much when we talk about regulation instead of just regulating the use case of a certain technology.
John Biggs, we often hear governments say, well, actually, cryptocurrency is being used for illegal purposes, being used to buy weapons on the internet, to buy drugs, and it's all about, it's very, very shady. How much of that is true and how much of that is scaremongering now? Perhaps a decade ago, it was a very criminal enterprise, but is it now?
I mean, it's still used for to skirt laws. A lot of people use it for offshore gambling, that sort of thing. In the U.S., you can't have gambling, so you basically have to use crypto to buy in, that sort of thing. Buying a AK-47 and a bunch of heroin on the internet, I mean, you can do that with dollars as well. So it's not that people use all types of currencies for shady dealings. I think Glenn is right in terms of the capital gains, but again, it's almost impossible to figure out those capital gains things unless people are self-reporting. And the IRS and the SEC and a number of these organizations don't have the skill or the ability to figure out what's happening in crypto markets unless you're stuck on a Coinbase, unless you're stuck on a Kraken, unless you're trading in a place that is regulated by U.S. law. And plenty of people aren't going to hang out in places where they're regulated by U.S. law just for that very purpose. So, the only shady dealings that are going on is people don't want to tell how much cash they have and how much cash they've made. And in that case, that's why they want to regulate it all. All the other stuff, you can buy heroin, you can buy ecstasy or whatever. That's obviously scaremongering, and a lot of these markets are...
Well, John, let me put that to our guests. Let me put that to our guests. What John has effectively said, Thibault, is that you can use all of this money to do shady dealings, but there are shady dealings done with other currencies. The problem here is the fact that this is outsmarted regulatory authorities. They simply don't know what to do about it. They're struggling. Are they struggling, do you think?
Of course, they will probably never say that, you know, in a too public way. But we do have some numbers from, you know, big data analytics firms trying to analyze the transactions. It seems that a few years ago, about 7 to 8% of the Bitcoin transactions were tied to illegal activities. And apparently now they've reported that it is about 1.5%, which is a lot, but also pretty much nothing compared to, of course, all of the legal ways of using blockchains. And again, I think we go back to the same issue. It is possible indeed to use cryptocurrency. And I mean, Bitcoin wouldn't be the best for the purpose of legal activities. You have other ones which will protect your privacy in a better way. But if you are skilled and if you do not fear the regulator, you may technically do so, which is new. But on the other end, I feel like most people wouldn't first want to do that. And if they want to engage in such activities, they will fear the regulator regardless of the actual capacity in practice.
Glenn Goodman, has cryptocurrency outsmarted all of the financial regulators of the world?
I think the problem is it just changes so quickly. I mean, for example, the DeFi industry, decentralized finance, which in some ways could replace parts of the borrowing and lending industry. I mean, that just grew up from almost nothing in the space of like a year. So, of course, they're kind of struggling to get their heads around. And we haven't even talked about NFTs, of course, you know, these JPEGs, which people buy and sell, and audio files and that kind of thing. I mean, that's a whole other burgeoning industry, which, again, nobody had heard of last year. And now it's like a pretty big deal with multi-million dollar deals going on the whole time. So, yeah, regulatory and regulators are struggling to keep up, and they're always several steps behind, you know, even in the traditional finance industry. I would like to see crypto exchanges better regulated. I'd like to see them regulated like stock exchanges, so that the kind of people who come to me for advice and say, you know, can you teach us how to trade cryptocurrencies? I always have to apologize to them, like I do in my book, The Crypto Trader, saying, sorry, none of these exchanges are actually very safe to trade on. You know, even the ones that are regulated in the States, like Coinbase and Kraken, they're regulated as money exchanges, but they're not regulated as proper stock exchanges, which, you know, so the regulators aren't looking at their trading flow properly, and that does worry me to some degree. But by the same token, you know, It's a difficult one because you don't want over-regulation either. Want them regulated, don't want them regulated so much that it becomes really, really expensive for any new entrants to come into the market.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I do want to thank Glenn Goodman, Thibaut Schreppel and John Biggs. And I want to thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Imran Khan, and the entire team here, bye for now.